Welcome to the Two Writing Teachers podcast. Two Writing Teachers is a meeting place for a world of reflective writers. Here on the podcast, we are excited to talk about ways to create, lead, and sustain joyful and productive writing workshops. My name is Stacey Schubitz, and I'm here with my colleague Melanie Meehan. Let's work together to inspire and empower students to be competent, brave, and confident writers.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two Writing Teachers podcast. I'm Melanie Meehan. I'm here with my colleague and friend, Stacey Schubitz. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, everyone.
So we are here today doing a follow-up to the conversation that recently aired about ways that artificial intelligence / AI can help with writing instruction. And there are a number of them. And when we finished that recording, we did a lot of reflection and wondering, and I know just we spent some time sharing concerns about how that impacts the work that we do and what we have to be careful of as we have the privilege of using AI. What are the responsibilities that kind of come along with it? And I know, Stacey, you had a lot of wonders and worries about that and just things to think about in addition to the amazing ways it can help.
Yeah. So I think that it all began after I was listening to you talking about the way Brisk can provide feedback, which I think is great. My concern involves the human aspect of this. When I was at a school the other day, I was talking about conferring and small group instruction, and I was having a conversation with a teacher who was talking about the way that she leaves feedback on one of her students' writing. And she feels that this girl is disengaged. And we were talking about the feedback that she leaves. And she was saying, you know, I think I'm leaving like too many comments about what they need to work on as a writer. And I'm like, okay, so like limit that. But my concern with regard to AI is if we're letting AI give all the feedback, how is that impacting us when we confer with students? Because we want to sit down writer to writer. And I worry that using AI too often for providing feedback, while efficient, is going to limit our ability to really confer writer to writer. It might become more teacher to student. And that's not what we want when we are sitting up or when we're sitting beside a student.
Right. I think there's that element of responsibility that comes mm-hmm. with it. And we know, I know, you know, that there is such an importance of a community and the sense of community in writing instruction of wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So you've got to know writers and understand them in ways that computers can't. It's sort of a safeguard of our profession, right? Mm-hmm. Like we know these people as opposed to the interpretation of the language through these language processing systems to spew out feedback. Mm-hmm. So there's that element. And I think that there's that constant mindfulness that we have to be aware of do I understand what this program is saying? Mm-hmm. Which to me, that's part of the, am I a critical creator with all of these tools that are available? Do I agree? Do I understand? Do I want to add my spin to it? I mean, I very rarely don't add my spin, my own personal spin to any of these things.
Well, you have to. Otherwise, it sounds like it's written by a computer. But I think that's my cautionary.
Yeah,
it's not a cautionary tale because there's no story behind it. It's just my word of caution is just to really be mindful of how you're using these tools to provide student feedback. And even for students to provide feedback to one another, we don't want to become too reliant on it because we still want people who understand how to give and receive feedback that is given from one person to another.
There's an art to giving feedback.
Mm-hmm. And we've worked so hard in schools for that. Like we've taught sentence stems and all these other things and behaviors of being a good peer partner. And I don't want to lose that with all of this AI because tech is wonderful, but we have to be smart about the way we use it.
Right. I also think, especially as we are going into the episode of what tools are available for students, it's really important to keep in mind of what is allowable for students. Mm-hmm. And districts across the country, probably around the globe, are working really hard at establishing policies for kids using AI and for teachers bringing AI into classrooms. Mm-hmm. So I want to just say a mouthful or two about that.
Go ahead.
Again, I think this is a policy issue, and different districts are in different places when it comes to AI policy. There are some that have policies already in place, and boards of education have looked at them, and high-level administrators have drafted them and looked at them and created them. I think one of the best mentors or resources is, and we'll put this in the show notes, the Los Angeles School District. Uh-huh. They just seem to have a very, very continually updating platform of policies and statements and ways to think about it. And again, by the time this episode airs, there's probably going to be better ones out there or different ones out there. So I want to be really careful of that. But I do think it's important to be mindful of what is okay within the district and how you're using things with students, especially those students who are under age 13.
Right. And I think some districts are further ahead than others, and some districts won't allow Chrome extensions to be downloaded by students. Other times, apps have to be approved by the tech administrators. So as a teacher, if you're asking yourself, what can I do? I think the best thing you can do is to advocate for your students, get together with other teachers, talk to your administrators, and see what you can do to have them be supportive of allowing access to some of the tools that we're going to share with you today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are questions that you can ask. And again, I would refer you rather than me, who's a borderline expert on this, like really not. I would go and look at the Los Angeles School District's platform and get some of the language and some of the questions there, because they're excellent. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's dive into some possibilities.
Let's go. So one of my favorites, and it's funny, like I was like, is this AI or is this technology? But I think, you know, is there a division and where's the dividing line? Mm-hmm. But one of my favorites and one of the things that is really widely used is Google Read and Write. Mm-hmm. And that is a Chrome extension that works on the G Suite. So, you know, if you are not using Google as your home base, I don't think you have access to it, but I will say
there is an app, but I think that it works best using that G Suite.
Mm, so, and the app you probably have to use for an iPad as opposed to a Chromebook, or
I don't own a Chromebook, but yes, to the iPad.
Yeah. So it would be through there. When you're thinking about Google Read and Write, I would just say the AI-ness of it is that feature where kids can record their writing using the talk to text, and their talk to text is getting better and better. Mm-hmm. When I first started using it, it was very difficult to get accurate writing out of what kids were saying. Mm-hmm. It's gotten better. And I do think I want to just pause and say all of these tools are getting better and better almost daily. Like, mm-hmm. Behind the user interface of what we are doing are the producers who are working at lightning speed to try to get the very best product that works for all of us. So right. You can kind of know that when you leave something and then go back a little while later, it's likely to be different and probably better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I'm thinking about the Read, Write, Google, it has been an unbelievable tool for many kids to use that speech-to-text feature. Mm-hmm. To use the word prediction feature, to use the read it back to them feature and hear how things go. And, you know, those are, that's probably the tip of the iceberg, but just those three are real game changers for a lot of kids.
Right. And it's got great prediction, but also there's a dictionary, there's a picture dictionary. And there are so many things. I'm looking at the toolbar right now, but there are so many ways to highlight and collect the things that you highlight by color, have it rounded up for you, create a vocabulary list. I mean, there are so many possibilities when you have that Chrome extension and you just click on it and boom, you have the toolbar that pops up from Read and Write, and it's fantastic.
It offers kids a lot of agency and it offers them a lot of feedback and really therefore efficiency in becoming stronger writers and more efficient communicators of their ideas, which is what we want. You know, one of the things that I've had people say is like, what about when the tool's not available, or what are you teaching kids, or what happens when they're just writing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's important for me to realize and remember that these tools aren't going anywhere for kids. They're only getting better. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not going to ask a kid to hammer a nail with their hand when there's a hammer in the drawer, right? So they're growing up at a time when there are tools, and my job becomes more, how do I teach them to access and then use those tools as opposed to wean them away from the tools. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a complicated time that way.
It is. And I think that when we think about it from an accessibility standpoint, some would say, oh, well, Read and Write is an accessibility tool. It's just used for a handful of students. But no, it really can and should be used by all students. There is no reason that we need to just give this as a tool to a few. There are so many kids who can really benefit from it.
Yeah. I think you start shifting your mind as it's a universal tool, and all it's going to do is become better, and it's going to be more and more available no matter what platform and what suite you're using. If not that tool, then one like it.
Absolutely. So related to Read and Write is CoWriter. It's another product that is owned by TextHelp, and it's a phenomenal word prediction tool that basically you can use your speech to dictate into it, or you can type into it. And as you're typing, it gives you suggestions of what that word might be. Your next word is like popping up on the screen, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I've found it to be incredibly accurate. What I really like about it is that you can have it read back to you at the end of a word, at the end of a sentence, at the end of a paragraph. And that really helps know, like helps the kid know whether or not that sentence makes sense. How does it sound? And you can edit right in the moment. And it's developed for students with dyslexia. Again, it shouldn't just be limited to kids who are carrying a diagnosis. There are many kids who are striving writers who can really benefit from having a word prediction program like CoWriter.
I don't think I'm a striving writer, and I like having a word prediction. It speeds me way up. I can just be like, oh yeah, that's a good word for me. Spacebar.
Do you keep word prediction on your iPhone?
Yeah, and it makes me be able to text much faster.
See, I've taken it off. I don't know why that is, but I just have. Like I found it distracting to me to have something popping up. But see, everyone's different, and that's the whole beauty of it, is that we have tools that we can use in ways that meet our needs as people.
And maybe the lesson becomes more of how can I put it on and how can I take it off and when do I want to, like to that point of it's distracting to you. It's not distracting to me. It's helpful.
Mm-hmm. I also text a lot with my voice and punctuate as I go. That's just me.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance to talk about Speechify because I know that that's an important one. And I also want to just talk about the idea of a magic wand because somebody once said that to me as I'm doing work for them with the development of these things. Like, what's your magic wand of this? Like, what would you wish was different, better, more accessible, whatever that adjective is? And, you know, certainly for me, as I think about co-writer and I think about read and write, I don't love the voices. Like, I know that there's lots of lots of efforts being made to make them sound less automated. I haven't been impressed that the voice coming back is less automated. It sounds like a little robotic to me. And I think that's something that we explain to students. Like, you know, this is a shortfall. They're working on it. It's going to sound a little bit like a computer.
Yes, but I think it's really important to find tools that are doing better because there are, we can give students access to these robotic voices very easily, but I think it's really hard as an adult to listen to, let's say, a newspaper article being read to me in a robotic voice as opposed to one of these enhanced AI voices. I can follow the text very well like that. I cannot follow it as well for a longer passage with that robotic voice. It doesn't have the same prosody as natural speech.
Let's take a quick break and then come back and we'll hear about some of the programs that might have a little bit better of a speech component because I know you've done a lot of work around that. When Stacy and I first started our podcast, we researched various platforms and we made the great decision to use Zencastr for our recording. We've been really happy with this decision because for one, it's super easy to record a podcaster with Zencastr. We can log in using our browsers and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. There have been a couple times when we've had unstable internet and Zencastr has multi-layered backups that keep the recordings in the highest quality, a very relieving feature. With many different features and services, if you have thought about podcasting before and realize that you need a lot of different tools, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. To get started, go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code TWTPOD. You'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same easy experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. So coming back and thinking about how different programs sound, Stacy, can you just talk a little bit about Speechify? Because I know that you've done a lot with that.
Yeah, I think that this is more of a reading tool than a writing tool, but it's very important. With Speechify, you have the option, so long as you have a premium text reader subscription, which schools can purchase, you can import almost anything into Speechify and listen to it. Some examples are scanning pages. Like if a student has a worksheet and they need it read to them, they can scan it and it will literally read back while like the text is highlighted and it basically keeps the eye on the print as it reads it out loud, which I think is a fantastic feature. You can paste website links into there and then have articles read aloud to you. You can import PDFs. You can talk with ChatGPT and listen to the answers. Again, I think that's a fantastic part of Speechify. What I really like about Speechify is the fact that you can have different voices, but when you're asking about a magic wand, you're asking me about the magic wand, right?
I love thinking, what do I wish this could do that it's not doing yet?
Okay, so here's my magic wand thing. I have a piece of student writing in front of me, and I have an enhanced AI voice, and I'm looking at the fact that as it is reading, the words that I see have exclamation marks and dialogue tags. It doesn't sound like the way that the student wrote it, even with the enhanced AI voice. I'm going to put it real close to my microphone and just play a little bit of it for you.
Jimmy, don't be impolite. My mother told me I'm not being impolite. Mom, I shouted back at her with my shoulders pushed back.
Okay, I would have read that text. Jimmy, don't be impolite, my mother told me. I'm not being impolite, Mom, I shouted back at her with my shoulders pushed back. So again, I think this is a pretty good way to have a piece of student writing that a child has written, read it back to them so that they can hear how it sounds, but it's not perfect. So my magic wand would be to just have a voice that really pays more attention to the punctuation so that a child can hear their writing read back in a way that sounds like a human would read it.
Yeah. No, for sure. And again, it's that job security that we all want to have, right? And there's a responsibility for using all of these tools and saying to kids and offering kids the disclaimers that this is what they can do and this is what they can't do and this is how they can help and this is how they can't help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of a statement is as true for students as it is for teachers, as it is for any other consumer of the AI tools. And I think the more that message goes toward kids, the better they are in this rapidly changing world we're living in.
Absolutely.
You made a statement about cost. And I think that there's an importance in realizing that a lot of these have free versions and a lot mm-hmm. of them have paywalls. And I know that Grammarly is one that really has is a very distinct, there's free versions of Grammarly and mm-hmm. there's paid versions. I use the free version of Grammarly and mm-hmm. it gives me suggestions and a lot of the time I take them. Mm-hmm. I know being your writing partner that you have a paid version of Grammarly and a lot of the time you give me writing suggestions that Grammarly might have given you that I frequently take. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm going to kick it to you to just talk about what Grammarly does for both you and what it can do for students who are using it well.
And I know that there is a free version for students. I don't know exactly what that looks like. But if I think about the free version of Grammarly and then the paid version of Grammarly, it's like, do you want the minivan that is pretty basic or do you want the minivan that has the video, the TVs behind the seats? Like, which one do you want? They're both really good. I remember, you know, saying, I don't want the DVD player in my minivan. And they looked at me like I was, you know, out of my mind, but that wasn't for me. But in terms of
the heated seats.
Oh, yes.
Steering wheel.
Yes. Well, I don't have a heating steering wheel, but I would love one. But the heated seats, yes. So using that analogy, this is like your souped up car to have Grammarly Premium. It really provides so much feedback. And I don't even think I use it in all the ways that I could, but it tells you when you're using passive voice. It helps you be more concise. It does all the basic things that you would think about, like needing as a writer. You know, it spell checks, it tells you when your spacing's incorrect, but you can change the tone and you can have it read your writing and tell you what the tone is and give you suggestions to sound more positive or more forceful. There are so many possibilities with that premium version.
Again, you said something really important, and that is that you don't know all of the things that it can do. And I think with any of these tools, it's really been important for me to realize that I don't need to know all that it can do in order to use it effectively mm-hmm. and impactfully for my practice to make myself more efficient, to give myself feedback, to give kids feedback, to think about things. And the more that I can teach my experiences of using the parts that help me and using those parts that help me as a, you know, reflectively is a really important thing for me to keep messaging and teaching students.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just getting back to Grammarly, I think of it as my copy editor. And it's always nice to have a copy editor. When I've gotten manuscripts back, I look at the copy edits and I'm like, woof. Now I feel like I have that on my phone. It's so humbling, Melanie. Oh my goodness.
You're like, I thought I was good at this.
Right, right. And then it shows you how little you do know. But having Grammarly, I have the keyboard installed on my phone and on my iPad as well as on my computer, and it's plugged in everywhere. I'm becoming a more concise, accurate writer because I know the errors that I make and I'm starting to fix them on my own. So it's not so much that it is a crutch as it is like a device to help me learn how to write better, because I'm noticing when they send me my week in reviews, like I'm writing better than I was 6 months ago because I know the things I need to do and fix before I even write them incorrectly.
So I feel like that's a perfect segue in for me to talk about my experience using Everwrite with a student who I tutor. Mm-hmm. His comment about Everwrite, and I will describe it and say it, but I think to lead with this comment at the back end of what you just said is really powerful. Because his comment to me was, I don't have to use Everwrite anymore because I know and I have it in my mind what a paragraph needs to have. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's what I want for you. Like, you have internalized the structure of a paragraph. And now that you've internalized it, number one, you can recreate it when you're writing anything. And number two, you can deviate from it and create paragraphs that have stronger voice or different setups because you have internalized and developed your understanding of what that basic structure is. And I think that's a really powerful thing for him.
It absolutely is. Let's take a quick break and then I want you to talk more about Everwrite. Last summer, my daughter decided to make writing in a daily journal her summer writing project. Out of all of the choices at the bookstore, she selected the Little Heroes Journal, which empowers kids to develop a growth mindset, a can-do attitude, and the confidence to be themselves. I couldn't believe that she wrote in her journal daily. She did it without me pushing her to write because she enjoyed expressing herself using the prompts the journal gave her. Best Self is the creator of the Little Heroes Journal, as well as other journals, planners, conversation decks, and guided tools for your personal growth, professional development, romantic connection, family bonding, and social connection. Their products help you get to where you want to go, one task, question, and reflection at a time. Best Self helps you make the most of those in-between moments to nurture yourself and your treasured relationships. Two Writing Teachers podcast listeners will receive 15% off their Best Self order using the code TWTPOD. That's TWTPOD. Follow the link in the show notes to check out their website. Now that we're back, tell us more about Everwrite.
Yeah, so Everwrite is a product of Newsela, mm-hmm. which for me gave it kind of instant
credibility.
Yeah, credibility, mm-hmm. street creds, because Newsela has been really an amazing product to use. So it is underneath the umbrella at this point of Newsela. You can find it within their website, and we can put that into the show notes. It is a student-facing writing feedback program. Mm-hmm. So as a teacher, I can go in and I can set up a question for kids to be responding to. AI helps with establishing that question. It's the one place where AI is really incorporated into the work. Mm-hmm. From that point, I can get my question. It asks me to choose a state rubric. Mm-hmm. It then provides a code for that writing assignment, which students then enter in as their mm-hmm. student-facing experience of it. It works right now as a Google extension, but they are very, very close to having it be a web-based platform. Okay. So you don't need to just use the G Suite. And at this point, at the time of recording, like early February or early 2024, it's free. So you can find it. You can put it in, you can add it as a Google extension. Shortly, you'll be able to use it as a web-based platform. What kids are then able to do is they can start answering their question, and it gives the students color-coded feedback when they request it as to whether they have a thesis statement, whether they provided background information, evidence, mm-hmm. analysis, and a concluding sentence.
That's fantastic.
So you can have it be for a one paragraph response, and then they have a long form that's for a multi-paragraph response, okay. which is however many paragraphs they're going to do. Mm-hmm. What I'll say about it is it doesn't lead to strong voice. And for some students who are really strong writers, I'm not sure it's the right tool because it is really, really looking for specific language that sometimes sounds formulaic.
Can you change the voice and the tone like I was talking about with Grammarly? Can you do that with Everwrite?
You mean when I say voice, I'm thinking about the voice of the writer, not the voice of it reading back.
That's correct. That's what I'm talking yeah. about. So, like you can have it convince or tell a story or be persuasive. Like there are different ways that you can have Grammarly interact with your writing when it gives you feedback.
Yeah. Great question. Everwrite is at its very strongest as a feedback mechanism for argument and opinion writing.
Okay.
It can do information writing. It's not mm-hmm. as effective because it's really looking for a thesis statement. Mm-hmm. It's not used for narrative writing. So it is not okay. a narrative writing tool at all.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. So it has very specific language that each of those categories, if you will, are looking for. So okay. for a thesis statement, it wants you to directly respond to the question mm-hmm. in a, you know, turn the question around kind of a way.
Okay.
And add a because statement to it.
Okay.
When it is looking for analysis, it's really looking for this means that, this shows that in response to, and it in contrast to, likewise, like it really is looking for that kind of language as okay. opposed to even content. It doesn't read for content. Teachers mm-hmm. need to do that. Mm-hmm. It looks for evidence and it really demands that you punctuate the evidence correctly. If you don't punctuate the evidence, the evidence, if you don't use your commas and quotation marks and spaces correctly, it might not see it as evidence.
Okay.
So it's rigid and not always in a bad way for many kids.
Mm-hmm. What grade have you started using it with? Like what's the youngest students?
The youngest students I've started using it with are third graders.
That's what I figured.
And when I use it with third graders, I am very clear to them that I don't expect them to get the checklist for evidence.
Okay.
Like that is not something that I have taught them. Mm-hmm. It's not something that is in their standards. It's not something I expect them to do. If they want to do it because they've gotten everything else, I will give them a small group and teach them happily. And they okay. like that.
Yeah. Well, again, that brings it back to personalizing it, which is what we started out by discussing, is that we have to know kids, know what their interests are, know what they're ready for, and then teach into those things in the classroom within writing workshop.
Right. And I think, you know, the other thing with Everwrite, and I, fourth and fifth grade have been my sweet spots with it, mm-hmm. is that it is not always right. There are plenty of times when I don't agree with Everwrite, mm-hmm. and I sometimes just say, you know what, I'm going to live without getting all of my checks. I'm going to live without having my little cute dials that I love to see go up, not mm-hmm. go up. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I've done what you're saying I haven't done, or I know that what you're saying is something is really something else, and I can defend that. And I teach kids how to have those conversations with Everwrite. That's an mm-hmm. important conversation to have. And I think for kids to be able to have that conversation is pretty high level thinking.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Like if a kid can be like, you know what, Everate, you say this is background and I say it's thesis and here's why I say it's thesis. Mm-hmm. High five to you, buddy. If you can have that conversation and explain it and defend that thinking, we're good.
Right. And sometimes I've noticed even with Grammarly, it will introduce errors and I'll just dismiss the suggested edit, which is why when you've seen me like in our blog series make suggested edits from Grammarly, there's stuff that they're saying that should be changed. And I'm like, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to sound. So I think we have to look at it with that kind of very keen eye as to make sure that we are not introducing errors or doing things that it says it wants us to do, because it is not a human. It is a tool that is not a real person.
It's not a real person. And I feel like I am a broken record saying I want to be a critical creator and I mm-hmm. want to teach kids to be critical creators. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of interacting with AI and being a critical and responsible creator mm-hmm. and being okay with being smarter than AI in that moment. And also, the other thing that I will teach them and say to them is that there have been times when I've disagreed with Everate, but I've gone along with it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to do it your way. And I'm going to work really hard to game this system and use the language that you want, because I really like the color coding and I really like the checks and I really like the dials that you give. Mm-hmm. And there have been times when my writing's gotten better because I've listened to it. So, you know, and that you could probably say the same thing with Grammarly. It's that sort of complicated relationship between yes. we as human writers and AI, and how can it help even when we don't want to be helped?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, with this student who I was teaching, and some of my best conversations with him, and I think his highest growth moments have been when we haven't been able to get a paragraph together to meet all of the checks. Like we'll mm-hmm. sit, we'll work, and we'll play. And he's been incredible with having conversations about that. And I think that's helped him internalize, to my point when I started this description and this conversation, him saying, I don't need it. I see those checks and I know those checks and I know what I'm trying to do without it. Mm-hmm. Right. But I will say, and this is going back to our previous podcast where we talked about AI and chat, and this is where all of it kind of comes together, because it also relates to policy and what we allow students to do and mm-hmm. use. But you know, this is a student who really struggles with written language. Okay. And he's beautiful with oral language and he's really strong as a reader. Mm-hmm. But writing is just a huge piece of gum in the straw for him.
Yeah.
And what I have taught him to do, and I'm not saying this is best practice, but I am saying, boy, this made him grow. So maybe it is best practice. I don't know. What's best practice, Stace?
Go for it. Tell us.
I taught him to use ChatGPT and to ask Chat to write a paragraph for him. And mm-hmm. he very quickly learned that he had to re-engineer his prompt. We talked about that term to last be time. A fourth or fifth grade level. Mm-hmm. So write a paragraph about why we should have driverless cars mm-hmm. in lots of big words. I'm like, can you read that? No. Okay. So let's ask it more simply. Write it in fourth grade words. Mm-hmm. Out it comes. And so then take it, copy it, put it into a Google document, use Everwrite, and start using the tools of Everwrite so that the language is really clear. It forces transition words. It forces direct evidence. Chat doesn't give you evidence. Mm-hmm. It forces that analysis. So he has to add a lot to it. And then I taught him how to put his own stories into it. So you can not only have what Chat's given you and whatever writes suggested to you, but you can also have your own stories that go into it that really make it yours. And all of that created paragraphs that were very different than the ones that came out of ChatGPT, but Chat gave him the initial structure that he really needed.
So I think that this brings everything all together, that we can use tools, multiple tools, integrate them, and really enhance the writing that students are doing and that we're doing ourselves.
And maybe the idea is to just think, what can you get comfortable with? What are the things that you're going to go try now that you're going to be like, okay, this is going to feel a little hard and a little uncomfortable right at the gate, but I'm going to get better and better at it so I can integrate all of these different things. And I would just say, pick one or two that you've heard. Give it a go.
Thank you for listening to the Two Writing Teachers podcast. Check out the show notes for links to the items we mentioned in this episode, as well as ways to connect with us. For more about the teaching of writing, head over to the Two Writing Teachers blog at twowritingteachers.org. If you liked what you heard today, please share it with your friends and colleagues, post about it on social media, like, subscribe, and leave us ratings and reviews. Our music is by Lemon Music Studio. If you'd like to connect with us, email us at contact@twowritingteachers.org. Thanks again for listening. Let's teach, learn, and write on together.